Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine Antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine Antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, me Sam Stein, managing editor of The Bulwark, here with my bud Tim Miller. We are in the midst of watching this Kash Patel hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's still going on, but I think we got the gist of it. I'm going to adjust my studio to make sure I'm... Yeah, okay, it's still going on, but we got the gist of it. Basic background...
It's just like a big Tuesday between us. Just a couple of buddies. You know, we like to wake up on Tuesday morning, get some coffee... You know, watch Kash Patel do his BDI testimony in front of the Senate and just chit chat about it, you know, just like any other pair of compadres. You know?
Yeah, what a life. Who has it better than us? Let's talk about, first of all, you raised a lot of people. You raised an interesting question in our Slack chat. Why the hell is Kash even up there? I know why. There's oversight hearings. The Judiciary Committee has oversight over the FBI, in theory, in a normal world, you know, you need to appeal to members of Congress so that they are good to you and fund your initiatives and things like that. But I guess I understood where you're coming from. Like, this administration doesn't really give a shit what Congress does, so why send Kash up there at all?
Yeah. It's a sarcastic, legitimate question, right? Like, why is he doing I think you have to.
Is it sarcastic?
I was making a joke, but it's also legitimate, right? It's like, I think it's important to sometimes step back and say, well, this administration, across so many different areas, they are not interested in doing what past administrations have done, what the people should have done. You know, for example, after an assassination, every president in history before this would have tried to bring the country together, gone to the church, dialed down the temperature. This president and vice president are doing exactly the opposite. That's just one example, but there are a million norms that these guys have trampled over from Doge all the way down. So it's like, why send their people to hearings? I mean, the Republicans control the Senate. They're scared of Chuck Grassley. The Chuck Grassley is going to subpoena Kash and, you know, send the Senate cops over to the FBI to make sure that he testifies. I don't know. And so then once you guys consider that question, which is if these guys will stop doing business as normal in other cases, you wonder why do they do business as usual in this case? And maybe it's just inertia. But I think, and we'll see in these clips, it doesn't work for me, but I think that Kash like wants to perform for the boss. I that's my legitimate answer.
My explanation.
Yeah, right? he wants to perform
the boss. He knows he needs to be, and this is why Pam Bondi's out there on Katie Miller's podcast and doing Fox News hits every 2 days and things like that. I mean, Kash wants
to perform. Trump is live streaming Katie Miller's just absolutely unbearable podcast.
I don't know if Trump listens to
but maybe the clips, maybe they think that the clips from that podcast will be on Fox.
Exactly. Put aside Katie Miller's podcast. Maybe Trump does listen to pods while he's in the golf cart, you know. Sometimes you gotta kill some time.
Couldn't get things in the ears, and he has like all the orange makeup on the ears, and then the bruising. It'd be hard to get the earbuds.
Fingers can't get the buds. We're digressing really fast.
Sorry.
The backdrop of this is obviously the Kirk assassination, although this hearing was scheduled before then, I believe. And so you had the Epstein stuff too. I'm going to start with the Kirk stuff because it's more recent and it produced some of the more notable exchanges. So to your point about dialing down the temperature versus dialing up the temperature, there was two exchanges that really kind of underscored the divergent paths we're on in this moment. One came from Amy Klobuchar, who went first. Another came from Eric Schmidt, who went later in the hearing, both talking about the Kirk assassination, but political violence more broadly. Let's play clip 7 so the viewers can get a side by side, just to get you a sense of how divergent the two parties are currently handling this moment.
Actually, don't want to go tit for tat on this, but what I am asking for is that this rhetoric of blaming one side or the other stop, if you could convey that to the president, and that we actually work on things that are solutions. So could you commit to me, Mr. Patel, Director Patel, that you will do that?
Absolutely, Senator.
And I would point out, we've heard years of the left, their loudest voices calling anyone on the right extremist MAGA Republicans, fascist, Nazis, an existential threat to democracy. Check yourself and don't give me this both sides bullshit.
All right. So just to fact check, the people who called Trump a Nazi include J.D. Vance and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But besides that point, that's just a petty little rejoinder, I suppose. Yeah. That says it all. That just says it all right there.
Yeah, it doesn't actually quite say it all, because Eric Schmidt talked for, I mean,
four and a half.
What felt minutes. Like an hour and a half. I don't know how long the actual speech.
You get
was.
5 minutes, and he talked for basically all.
It was the longest 5 minutes of my life. It was a speech that I assume was written by Nate Hockman, his new speechwriter, who was Ron DeSantis' speechwriter and got into trouble for having fascist imagery in some of the material that the DeSantis campaign had put out in a video. And he's a controversial young man. Will Sommer knows about Nate Hockman.
All about him. He put the Sonnen rat in the video. Yeah.
Yeah. Very big on the new right. So Eric Schmidt has hired this guy who was cast out of DeSantis' world, and he is refashioning Schmidt as like this culture warrior nationalist, because Eric Schmidt, I assume most of the commenters had never even heard of them unless they're from Missouri up until recently. But he gives this big speech at the NatCon conference where he talks about where he does kind of a blood and soil America's right. Not about the principles of the Constitution. And then here, what was supposed to be questions for Kash Patel, he ends up asking himself questions where he does a bunch of rhetorical questions like was it a left winger or a right winger that did Waukesha Christmas killing? And he lists all the killings and then he answers them himself that it's left wing. And it's just stupid. He just like leaves out all the right wing killings.
Well,
it's just stupid demagoguery.
The reason he had to answer the questions was because Kash actually did not want to play ball there. Kash was like, well, I'll let you answer those. And then he answered them. I will say Katie Britt followed that up where she did note that there were politically motivated killings that targeted Democrats. She didn't say that it was the responsibility of the right to denounce it, but at least she was honest about the current situation, unlike Eric Schmidt.
Anyway, just one more thing about Eric Schmidt. I just it goes without saying, kind of like the ridiculousness of taking this moment. I mean, there's just so much legitimate things to be concerned about with oversight of the FBI, whether it's like the handling of the various investigations, pushing people from out of, child sex trafficking cases and domestic terrorism cases into immigration cases, the firing of all the stuff we'll get to. I'll do ask for Eric Schmidt to just like go on this rant that it's only the left wing people that do violent rhetoric or aggressive rhetoric or extreme rhetoric when the president of the fucking United States is Donald Trump. It's just so like appallingly obvious and ridiculous and shameful. And yet like, I think he feels like he's going to get rewarded for it.
I'm sure he's
right wing media circles. Yeah.
He'll get some good hits. He'll raise some good money. I mean, come on, let's be real. That's what it's for. Will, I'm going to bring you in here because let's switch to the Jeffrey Epstein stuff at this point, because, I was a little bit surprised. We could come back to Charlie Kirk in a little bit, because they did mention Section 230 in the context of what you're talking about, Tim, just like tamping down on some of the stuff that's causing this. But the real big thing was the Epstein stuff to me. Like, that was where the news was made. And let's just play clip 1, because Patel opened it up by throwing someone so far under the bus that I was shocked. Poor Alex Acosta. Poor Alex Acosta. Run over by the bus. Then the bus turned around and just put it in reverse and just did it again. This is what Kash Patel said about Alex Acosta and the Epstein files. Let's play it.
Now, I know that there's a lot of talk about Epstein. And I'm here to testify that the original sin in the Epstein case was the way it was initially brought by Mr. Acosta back in 2006. The original case involved a very limited search warrant or set of search warrants and didn't take as much investigatory material it should have seized. If I were the FBI director then, it wouldn't have happened. The search warrants were limited to small time periods to include 2002 to 2005 and 1997 to 2001. Mr. Acosta allowed Epstein to enter in 2008 to a plea and non-prosecution agreement, which then the courts issued mandates and protective orders legally prohibiting anyone from ever seeing that material ever again without the permission of the court.
All right, we can stop.
The non-prosecution agreements also.
So we'll explain Alex Acosta, the role he plays in the mystery around him.
Yeah, sure. So Alex Acosta, this was during the George W. Bush administration. He was the U.S. attorney in Florida who handled Epstein's case. And he was involved in cutting this very favorable deal that basically, you know, gave Epstein a relatively light sentence. And most notably, it said that the federal government and state authorities would not investigate Epstein or any of his associates further, what other things they might have done. And so the local cops there said, well, we could have put this guy away for 20, 30 years. And suddenly he's getting away with this light sentence. And then Alex Acosta resurfaces in all places as the labor secretary during the first Trump administration. Someone who probably should have been, you know, one would imagine would have been drummed out of politics based on this Epstein deal. He claims that, you know, he was told Epstein or reportedly claimed that Epstein was an intelligence asset of some kind. But basically, he's a guy who may have some answers here and has not given them in sort of this resurgence of interest.
But he is being subpoenaed.
Yes. Yeah. The House Oversight Committee subpoenaed him. But as you can see, Casvertel, as you really sort of backed the bus up over him and said, you know, if I was there, it wouldn't have gone down the way it did.
And I want to object to that question that it wouldn't have gone down the way it did based on how Casvertel answered questions today about what the FBI knows or is doing or is looking into regarding other people that these young girls and young women in various cases were trafficked to. And I'd like to play clip three so that we can show you where Cash is on this right now.
You've seen most of the files. Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these young women to besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the files?
In the case file.
I mean, this is crazy. That is crazy. Like the idea that every single one of these young women and young girls were only trafficked for Epstein's personal sex use. Like many of them have testified about others, including most famously Prince Andrew. Many of the victims have testified about that. And then you notice that Cash, he does this a couple other times too, when he's asked about Epstein, he specifically talks about the case files. The right. Senators will ask about the files and then he'll say the case files. And the reason why he's doing this is because he wants to limit the scope of his responsibility to things that were actually in the evidence that was presented in the cases, in the court cases against Jeffrey Epstein. But like, during the FBI and the government gathered a ton of other information about Jeffrey Epstein over a period of time. And sure, typically the government does not release information about people that they suspected or whatever that they did not bring charges against. But like, that's what Cash was calling for his whole career as a podcaster, right? Was like reveal all the people that are his known associations, because we know there are a bunch of them. We know the government has a bunch of them. We know that Donald Trump is mentioned in there a bunch of times because they said that they created a share file of all the Donald Trump mentions. So he's playing this word game between files and case files. I don't know if the senators caught it or they wanted to let him get away with it or they didn't care. But like I think that that is pretty telling, and I don't know if that's going to be a good enough answer.
We know this. We know at least Kennedy himself caught it. I mean, Kennedy followed it up. It wasn't in the clip, but I'll read it. Kennedy Patel is going to have to do more to satisfy the American people. Quote, the issue is not going to go away. And I think the central question for the American people is that they know that Epstein trafficked young women for sex. They want to know who, if anyone else, he trafficked these young women to. You're going to have to do more. Actually, we do have the clip, but we don't have to play it now because I just quoted it verbatim. But like, there's no, it just doesn't, it doesn't pass the smell test, right? Like the idea, to your point, Tim, that all these girls were on the island or wherever, and it was just for Jeffrey Epstein, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then you have things like the British ambassador to the US getting sacked recently, Prince Andrew, and all the scandal around him. And not to mention the years and years of conspiracy theorizing that people like Patel himself were engaged in around this idea that this was some sort of great cabal. So yeah, no, I can't imagine that's going
to
go.
I mean, I would love to have, I mean, Cash does do some, you know, MAGA media. And I think, feel like that'd be a nice follow-up for folks in that world, which, well, is just like what made you change your mind? Like, you don't, well, go ahead, Will.
Well, I was just gonna say, at one point Cash says he hasn't read the whole, all the files. And so, you know, related to Epstein. And so, you know, on one hand, I realize it's a lot of files, but, you know, he was the guy who was like, the FBI director has the files, we got to get them. And so for him now to be kind of the face going on things like Fox News and saying, it's over, get over it, move on with your lives, maybe he should take a look at the files, just a suggestion.
It's crazy. I mean, that is nutty to think that he wouldn't look at the files. Has there been any reaction online around this, or are they just moved on from it, Will?
I think in many ways they've moved on. I mean, you know, obviously this hearing just ended recently, but I think there's so much focus on Charlie Kirk right now. You know, and one more thing I would say about Cash saying, you know, it wouldn't have gone down that way if he was in charge. I mean, it was striking to me that when he was asked about the 764 network, which is a big understandable cause celeb on the right, which is sort of this sextortion violence network with the preys on children, that has been a real FBI priority. You know, he initially said, you know what? I don't know about that. So, you know, it suggests maybe it's not that big a priority for him. And you know, I think that's one I did see people on the right were a little irritated by.
Well, then he's, I kind of agree that people are moving on from it in the abstract, but I guess there is this lingering oversight committee investigation and subpoenaing of people like Acosta. And then there's the possibility that they get 218th member to sign this discharge petition for the Massey-Khanna thing, which would demand the production of all the documents. That is going to happen, right? Like that's basically just a matter of swearing in this next, you know, representative from Arizona, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they are going to get the votes that they need eventually. And, you know, how the administration handles that, I mean, it's not over. I mean, I think this is, I only mean that Charlie Kirk is obviously taking up
a
lot of news today. But I do think this has gotten to the point where the Epstein thing is going to continue to linger and continue to flare up for the administration.
I just want to say one more thing on the Epstein thing that they didn't. Sam, you suffered through more hours of this than I did today. I had a couple of other interviews I had to do, but
it wasn't suffering.
So maybe you can tell me if I missed it. But during the lengthy segments that I watched, he wasn't really pressed on something that we do know, which is that there were a bunch of agents that were tasked with going through all these files and combing through them, and that some of the and that they were asked then to flag Donald Trump when they saw him in the files, whatever right. that means. Right. And I think that when you talk about this, you know, maybe the heat being not around this, particularly on the right, like in this moment following Kirk, like that is something that, you know, the calculus changes if the Democrats do take right. If they do take back the House, if they do win this and like they, I would be, looking at oversight of that process, like who was funny. Directing it, who was doing it, can we have some of the people that were reviewing them testify?
I will say the majority, the Democratic side of the ledger, like did not actually focus that much on Epstein today.
Yeah,
they didn't. I mean, it was, they came in clearly wanting to talk to Patel about the firing of agents within the FBI, and we're going to get to that.
Which is a very important issue, by the way. But yeah, it is funny that the Democrats are always out there being like, they're trying to distract from Epstein, and then they had their chance and didn't talk about it.
Right. Like, they went in there, and, you know, I think the reason, I don't know what the reason is, but they went in there with the focus on whether Patel had fired mid- and senior-level agents because they were involved in prior investigations into Donald Trump. And it comes on the heels of a couple of lawsuits filed by those agents alleging that they were improperly filed with some pretty eye-popping details in those lawsuits. But they did not – the lawmakers themselves, I mean, like, I don't know. Am I missing something? Well, like, I didn't hear that much. The segment we just played was from Senator Kennedy, who's a Republican. So it wasn't like it was a major focus today for the Democrats.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sam. I mean, I think there were a lot of questions that maybe could have been about Epstein instead, like the question about, you know, whether FBI agents have to do too many chin-ups. Right. You know, for maybe
Hirono. Going to get to that.
Perhaps.
Durbin, I think, mentioned Epstein, did he not?
Durbin mentioned it. He said, did you sign the memo? He said, why did you not sign the memo that came out from the FBI and the AG saying that there were no more records? And Patel had some, you know, childish rejoinder about something. Well, should I have done an auto pen and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah, that was quite well received on the right. Yeah.
I'm sure. Yes. Team up. But,
and I guess Cory Booker, you see the Cory Booker's thing, I guess he mentioned it, but it was part of like a longer rant.
About let's play the Durbin thing just because I referenced it. It's clip number two. You can see Durbin, but before we press play, let me just point out, and this Durbin is old. Like, he's retiring this year. He's 78 or something like that. Like, you can tell. I mean, his fastball's not there. He's just reading from the paper. He seems kind of caught off guard when Patel pushes back. And I thought that really set the tone for the hearing. So let's play the Durbin clip.
Bondi also pushed the FBI to review approximately 100,000 Epstein-related records on an arbitrarily short deadline in March, and the FBI was directed to flag any documents that mentioned President Trump. Nothing came of that review until July, when DOJ and FBI released an unsigned memorandum stating there is no incriminating client list. Why was this July 7th memorandum unsigned?
Would you prefer I've used AutoPen?
Why was it unsigned?
The memorandum had the insignia of the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And in our effort to secure transparency for the American people, because the three prior administrations had not done so, we conducted an exhaustive search of everything related to the Epstein cases, and we produced what was legally and permissibly able to be produced to Congress and the American public. So, and there's a congressional subpoena, and we're continuing to do so.
Did you personally direct that investigation so that you would sign such a...
Did I personally direct what investigation? Like,
of the Epstein records for any reference to President Trump?
Again, you are citing reporting that I think is baseless. We conducted an investigation of the Epstein case files pursuant to the direction of the president of the administration to provide all credible information, and we are working with Congress pursuant to a congressional subpoena to turn over all the documents we can. All who individuals.
Who at DOJ and FBI was
okay, we can probably stop it there. Like, I got lost, honestly, with what Durbin was getting there. So processy. I mean, I think he's talking about them trying to flag mentions of Trump, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, just they get are. On that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, because Cass says, well, that's maybe faulty reporting, you know, and then I think you follow up with specific things, right? But even the point of he mentions this, right? But like that point of, was this a valuable use of FBI agents' time, right? Like going through all of the Epstein files for you guys just to say that there's nothing here, nothing to see here. Like, are you telling me that the thousands of man hours that were spent for federal agents who are supposed to be keeping the country safe to go through the Epstein files were for nothing? Like, you got nothing out of it? There's not a single other lead? You have no leads?
Or how about this? How about just saying, okay, you led this investigation to the files. How many mentions of Donald Trump did you find? Yeah, I can't tell you. Why can't you tell me?
Right.
I'm not going to get into it. Why not? It seems like you're covering it for Trump. I mean, like, that's the basic stuff, but I don't know. It seemed to pass him by. Any other thoughts before we move on from the Epstein stuff, Will?
No, I mean, I think Kash Patel, obviously, as you can see, really pushed back on basically any question from Democrats about Epstein. I think, you know, at the moment, they seem to have avoided, I think, a big backlash from the right, but, you know, remains.
Yeah, but I think the right's over it, honestly. I just think they're over it. It's just we've went to a place where they just don't care anymore. It was a big deal in the summer.
Was there any discussion of the fingering at the TPUSA event during the hearing? Did that come up?
We don't need to reference that ever. All right. Switching. How am I going to segue here? Switching to the other matters.
Now we're going to finger the
trip. More internal matters. Oh, no. All right. We're going to talk about FBI internal matters now. Kash Patel was pressed on a couple of cases, on a couple of instances on the firing of these officials. There was a big story in the Times today. You guys read it that preceded this hearing? Okay, so rundown is this guy, Chris Meyer, field agent, signed to fly Patel up until last month, was basically told that was accused, I should say, of being the main agent in the Mar-a-Lago documents investigation. Problem was, Chris Meyer was never signed to that case, and He was, according to Times, at a lakeside vacation with his family in Virginia when the FBI conducted the search of the Mar-a-Lago property in August 2022. And yet he was fired by Kash Patel. He was fired alongside another agent, a guy named Walter Giardina. He did so, and Patel did so after being told that the terminations were unlawful and that pushing out Mr. Giardina, who was caring for his dying wife, would be, quote, inexplicably cruel. That's according to a lawsuit filed by three FBI supervisors who were also dismissed by Mr. Patel. So that was like a lot of the backdrop of the hearing today, a lot of what the Democrats pressed him on. Patel just kept saying, no, everything was done merit-based. But Tim, what are your thoughts on the article?
The merit-based thing is actually pretty can I go to the merit-based? Or I don't know. Sure. Do you have thoughts on the Times article?
Yeah, I mean, I think that article demonstrates, what also comes out in the lawsuit is that Cash and Dan Bongino are just extremely sensitive to social media criticism or these conservative ex-agents who are saying, on podcasts, that guy's a liberal. Why are you promoting that guy? And then they Cash will call someone up and say, hey, they're saying you were involved in this. Is that true? And then,
let me just jump on that, because there's another part of the article to your point, Will, about Brian Driscoll, who basically was running the Bureau until Cash came along on an interim basis. And Driscoll goes to Patel and he's like, why are you listening to this guy? And what Driscoll's talking about is a right-wing podcaster, a former FBI agent named Kyle. What is his last name?
Kyle Serafin. I want to write something about him because he's really Cash's nemesis.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on here? Like, what is the story?
I thought me and Kyle might have had a moment because I was sharing a lot of his material going after Cash and we started following each other on social media. But then turned out he didn't like my criticism of JD Vance's podcast yesterday. So,
all right. So, but Kyle Serafin is talking about Chris Meyer and Cash Patel is taking it as gospel. And Brian Driscoll's like, hey, you can't listen to this guy. What is going on?
Yeah. So like the brief Kyle Serafin story is that he left the FBI. I believe he was fired or there was some whistleblower thing. He was like linked up with James O'Keefe at one point, who he's also turned on. But I think what people need to understand now is that Kyle Serafin is like a really pugnacious ex-FBI agent who's really critical of the second Trump administration and Cash Patel's handling of the FBI. And he's constantly like nitpicking them, like saying, you can't promote that guy. He was involved in January 6th investigations. And on one hand, he's constantly trashing Cash. But on the other, it seems like Cash is very sensitive to his criticism of him. Notably, he said Cash's girlfriend is a Mossad agent. She's suing him over that. And also in the ex-agent's lawsuit, you can see
are you ready to be that dismissive of it, Sam? I mean, Cash doesn't seem like the type of person that's just like, landing chicks on his own. I know nothing about this. I'm just saying that if you're trying to tell me that the reason why Cash snagged a hot girl is because that she is a foreign agent of some kind, I'm open to that theory. That doesn't
it's
sound
fine.
Crazy
it's,
to me. It sounds more likely like than Cash bagging younger, a hot girl himself yeah. to me.
It's fine in theory. I'll note it's always the Jewish agents that's controlling the levers.
It could be
Let's
Russia.
Just be clear. They could have picked any other country.
All right. Anyway, I apologize for interrupting.
The one other thing I would add about how this Kyle Serafin guy lives in Cash's head rent-free is at one point in the ex-agent's lawsuit, Cash says, like, they're saying this about you, what are we going to do? And he's like, tells his agent, he's like, you should sue him. You should sue him too. And so go after him. So he's clearly a big influence on the administration.
So clearly Driscoll was like, what the fuck are you doing listening to Kyle Serafin? Are we really allowing you to influence decisions? Driscoll implored Patel to speak directly to Mr. Marl. Cash Patel refused. So that's where we're at. He fired some dude who had no involvement in the Mar-a-Lago raid because Kyle Serafin said he was involved.
Yeah. So here's like the thing. I mean, there's a lot of that in there, and there's a lot of funny stuff we can go through. As Will and I were talking earlier this week about the challenge coin that has Cash's name on it that he's handing to people. And
do you have one?
And I don't have one. And there's a lot of firings that seem very suspect. And I've had Mike Feinberg on, who got pushed out, for being friends with Pete Strzok. So like, it is a big problem, I think, across the Bureau. Today, Cash avoided having to really, I think, you know, engage in any of the details in any meaningful way, in part just because he kept like ducking it and
ongoing lawsuit. Can't talk about
that. One thing I just wonder from this hearing that might linger with him is the line he kept using about everybody that's been dismissed, which is a lot of people, is they failed to meet the standard or uphold the Constitution. You talk about meriting. They failed to meet a standard. And I don't know, man, if I'm Brian Driscoll, who's like a lifetime FBI agent who was just doing my job, well-respected inside the building, gets accidentally put into the role as acting head of the Bureau. And by accident, I mean like literal accident. Literally. They put the wrong name on the press release. And so he ends up...
And then
up,
they never corrected it, which is the best part.
So he just like ends up as acting FBI director based on a fuck-up. And he's in there and he's just trying to do the best he can with his job. And they're like telling him to fire people and stuff. And now you've got this fucking clown like up there testifying in front of Congress that you don't meet this, that you failed to meet the standard, that it was that I made a judgment call to fire that person. To me, if I was one of the guys on the side of the lawsuit, that would be an inflammatory remark. That would be something that would make me more likely to want to go even harder at Cash, either through the legal process or the media, et cetera. And I don't know that over the long term, he really set himself up for success as far as the coming blowback from folks within the building.
I think that's totally fair. Like that would piss me off. Right. Like, and there was another point in the hearing where Cash, we actually could play this clip where he's talking about, well, you know, me and Bongino, we have a collective 31 year. Let's play it. It's clip 4 because it's so good. Got to press that play button.
Hello. This is kind of like, it's a dramatic pause because this is what Cash does. He does this. It's, you know, it's like you just want to see his like little beady eyes. He's so nervous. He's like, he keeps looking to the side. Like, not great on eye contact with Cash.
Well, my point was that he at various points, he gets very defensive, nervous about like people going after him and Bongino for being podcasters. He's like, you're just dismissing my 31 years of combined experience. Which, you know, it's 16 and 15 divvied up. And like their experience was like what? Bongino was a Secret Service agent for a little bit and Cash.
Bongino was driving the golf cart for Trump, for Obama.
Like,
that was his gig.
And Patel was like a Nunes staffer, and then he worked for Trump. And like if you're Driscoll, you like were in the trenches. You know, maybe it wasn't for 31 years total, but and neither were theirs. But like you, that would piss me off for sure. I will just note, just to close the loop on the on this dude that Will loves, Serafin. Yes. This is what the Times wrote, because after this whole thing where he gets Driscoll fired, he gets Meyer fired, the Times writes this: Mr. Serafin acknowledged to the New York Times that he might have gotten some wrong details about Mr. Meyer as well. Oops. But he said the firing proved he had been close to the mark, adding that it had not been his intention to get anyone fired. It's real, like, you know, Keystone Cop stuff here, basically.
Yeah, I mean, they're very sensitive, clearly, to this right-wing media world, and I would say not in a good way.
Can we get to the pull-ups? Because
we're going to close it with the pull-ups.
Yeah.
So, okay, I think we'll close with this. I don't think Democrats acquitted themselves particularly well. They didn't really end too many punches. There was a weird Cory Booker moment where he got really impassioned and they started screaming back and forth. Not sure what it accomplished. Quickly, there was one moment where like Cash kind of entertained the idea of an assault weapons ban, but I just didn't really quite understand what he was getting at with Amy Klobuchar. And then there was Mazie Hirono. We don't have the clip here, but she basically was talking about basic training for FBI agents in the field. And she said, well, you know, I think it's wrong because women can't do pull-ups like men can do pull-ups, which is already being taken by the right as evidence that Mazie Hirono understands that there is a distinction between genders when it comes to physical abilities. So there's that. Also, it came right after Senator Schmidt's 4.5-minute diatribe about how Democrats are responsible for all the violence in the universe. And so Hirono just sort of let that one slide. But Tim, you had some real thoughts on Hirono.
Well, I just really had thoughts about Cash Patel doing push-ups or pull-ups. I mean,
it's pull-ups.
Cash
pull-ups.
Patel was really, really adamant. Like the thing he was probably the most adamant about was the whole hearing was that that agents need to be able to do pull-ups.
Right.
And I guess so. I don't know. Sure. I think that probably it's good for FBI agents to be able to do pull-ups, but I don't know. He just pushed out like one of the China experts who like know whose job is counter intel on China. And I'd like to have some people in the FBI that, you know, are very good at, you know, getting into the domestic, you know, maybe somebody can't do a pull-up because they are undercover as an incel. You know, and they're going into incel culture. and I think that would be fine with me. I guess I just don't know if that's the top priority I have. If it's a subsequent child, and it's not the top priority I have for if I'm Maisie Hirono to ask questions about, but it's also not the top priority I have if I'm the bureau director, the head of the bureau.
I like this idea that the undercover incel agent has to do such great method acting that they can't, so weak I can't do a pull-up. That's how you really commit to the bit.
Oh my God. Well, this is a few weeks after Cash put out the video of himself doing pull-ups as part of the RFK right. Pete Hegseth
Didn't
challenge.
Didn't he get in trouble because of the timing of that? I forget. Maybe
well, and people say, I mean, you look at it, look, I'm not Mr. Pull-Up, but he can't. I mean, he does like one or two with good form, but then the rest are just like crazy, like wriggling. And you know, the
little chipmunk pull-ups kind of.
Yeah, he's kind of like throwing his body up. And what's crazy is you can tell, I guess he's converted this open air part of the FBI headquarters into a gym. And so you could, I mean, this is like going on the streets of DC that the FBI director is going like, whoa.
Well, they're all trying to outdo each other, right? It's like the
RFK. We should grab that video and post. For the people that watch this not live, we love you live folks and commenters, especially the guy that called me handsome over there. But for the people to come later, we should grab the video for them so they can enjoy it.
All right. There one last thing before we let you go, because it's been discussed in the comment section, and this is right up your alley. But there's people who don't think Patel dresses the part, doesn't really know how to dress like an FBI director. I have no actual strong thoughts. I did notice his tie had been really loose during his confirmation hearing. It was a little tighter today at the knot area, but it wasn't like totally tight, and it still was a fat knot. And I'm not sure.
I can weigh in.
That's
on this.
Really. Yeah, you want to weigh in on this?
I'm kind of a, you know, sartorial fan. I agree. His knot is too big. And I don't understand. He has like some sort of symbol on the tie. It's like it looks almost like the Emmys award or something. It looks like an angel or something. And so that's weird. I don't think that's appropriate. He dresses it's sort of like almost like he's like going to the club, like a gentleman's, like not a gentleman, not a strip club, but like an old like London gentleman's club,
like the executive branch club that they all go to in Georgetown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I do think that knot is just way too big, and this whole administration, they love the suit lapels are too thin, and you know, so on.
What, I didn't realize we had Derek fucking Guy.
My problem is with his face, not his outfit.
Okay.
And maybe there's nothing he can do about it. I've said this about myself in case people are saying this is too mean. People are like, Tim, if one of your loser candidates had ever won, would you have been White House press secretary? And I always say I probably would have been communications director behind the scenes, because the press secretary, it's important to have a good poker face. And I have a bad poker face. If I hate you, you can tell immediately on my face.
Some people just don't have a face for
the press secretary.
Gotcha.
Cash does not have the face for being in charge of the Bureau of the FBI. He looks nervous and scared. His eyes are darting always. He looks very uncomfortable. And it's not, maybe it's not his fault. Maybe that's just how God made him. But like he doesn't have a face for the job. Trump likes people to come from central casting. And he doesn't have the face for the job. So that's right.
Yeah, I agree with that. He doesn't exude the sort of like I'm above it all, and I'm just going to play it really cool, and I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm going to be kind of intimidating aura. He doesn't have that.
No.
But he does have Trump's backing for now, and I think that's all that matters. So there have been some chatter that he might be on the way out.
In fact,
I think Booker said, this is probably your last hearing. No fucking way.
No way.
Not happening. I'm putting my money down. I don't even know what the poly market odds are on this one, but I don't care.
He's not going anywhere.
Can I just flag something that a
producer and then Tim's got to run.
In our comments, just briefly, it's apparently a Liverpool football club tie, which is even crazier.
Maybe he's a big, he does love those soccer flag things that he drapes all over the place. Maybe he's a big Liverpool fan. All right, Tim, Will.
Hi, baby. I got to roll.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.